Hello, my name's Junior.
Hi, my name's Alexei. Yeah.
We are in a band of some sort.
Some sort, indeed.
Yeah.
Some rum sort.
Some rubbish sort.
we're called Johnny Foreigner.
Johnny Foreigner.
Shut up, Kelly.
I'm already rubbishing the interview. I'm sorry.
We are Johnny Foreigner.
Can you just cut her out, like, just angle it like this or something?
I was reading this thing on the internet this morning, and there was actually a guy named Johnny Foreigner that said, purpose of visit, and then the person said, imperialism is now out of my way, Johnny Foreigner.
Is that like, if you Google our name, I've seen that before. It doesn't make any sense, does it? Like some dictionary or something? Internet's just full of rubbish.
What was the impetus for choosing, because I mean that is an expression from something.
Johnny Foreigner, the name it's just like a nice outsider culture name. When we started playing, none of the bands around Birmingham really sound like we did, or we didn't want to hang out with them, and they're all a bit rubbish, and so we kind of accepted that we'd always be like outside of that, and so like Johnny Foreigner as a name kind of suited us, and then we kind of accidentally got in a like sort of more famouser than
more famouser.
Famouser.
Lovely grammar there. That was lovely.
And so it's a bit of a misnomer. But obviously not now, because now we're in like a foreign country, so we can legitimately go, I'm
Johnny Foreigner.
And I'm actually Foreigner. And it's hilarious.
When I was looking at how you describe yourselves way too early this morning, we were all up way too early this morning, I suspect. I saw that you are all about gin, beer, and sandwich materials.
In fact, that probably is what our rider says.
It sounds very rock and roll, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Sandwich materials, please.
Yeah, we realised.
A couple of strippers, some drugs.
That's just for you.
Just for me, yeah.
I just want the gin. We realised on this last tour that that's a bit of a sandwich materials is a bit of an open-ended request. So half the time you get a lovely spread and half the time you get a block of cheese and a loaf of bread.
And pita.
Pita bread.
Mm-hmm. Pita's not a sandwich.
And no one ever gives you knives, do they? It's really weird. You give you all the things to make a sandwich, and then you just kind of, well, I can't open
We're
the cheese.
Bitter about pita. Spread.
Bitter about pita.
It's kind of interesting to me, when you try to really look up your history, it's not, you know, really there anywhere. So you want to remain a mystery, but I'm not allowed to have that happen. So were you, like, you know, mates in rehab or something? How did you all get together?
Are we doing the stamp line?
No.
Yeah.
I think we should start afresh in a new country and just be honest.
Yeah.
So we were, like, astronauts, right?
The history of Johnny Foreigner.
We sort of started in the same boring way that every band ever starts. We were in some bands before and they didn't work out and we ended up in this band and none of us have left it yet and we're still here. That's pretty much. We had this thing in England where we started a small lie and it just got bigger and bigger and bigger until we ended up telling people who used to be like radio heroes of ours that we actually formed at a stamp convention. And so yeah, we're starting afresh. It was actually quite.
It started off, I think. Was it you wanted to do 4 gigs with a 4-string acoustic?
And that was like a crazy plan. And then halfway through the 4 gigs, the guy that we'd started the band with went a bit mad, moved to London.
And then we got Kelly.
Yeah.
And we love her.
Do we? We hadn't talked about that before.
On some level.
Sure? Yeah, it's very platonic.
Now, Birmingham is, what, 1 million people? And it's not really, I mean, Birmingham is more of a, it's got more of a secondary financial center. It's not really kind of like Liverpool or Manchester. It's
not
more of an industrial, successful city.
It's
so tell me a little bit, because you're not a rock band from Liverpool or Manchester, or for that matter, London, you're from Birmingham. So how does that affect your music?
We wish we were from Liverpool.
Being from Birmingham, I think.
It just makes you want to get out more. It's not even really industrial anymore. It's just a giant shopping mall.
Yeah. Shopping mall. Shopping
center. Just a warehouse. Derelict warehouses. And
it was built just for,
the city centre. You could walk around it in, what, like, 10 minutes?
Yeah. There's no decent kind of venues where bands can start out and play. There's no real sense of scene or kind of, like, togetherness about it. It just makes you want to get out more.
Mm.
So in that respect, it was awesome for us. And because it's in the middle of the country then, obviously, so it's quite practical for touring in that you're never really more than
a
few days away from your own bed.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's a terrible hole, and we're always glad to get out.
I don't know, the less I spend there, the more I like it, actually. The more I kind of miss little strange things, like all the cranes on the skyline. I miss that.
Pissy stairway. That's what I miss. I miss walking down a stairway and it not smelling of piss. I'm like, it's really weird what's going on here.
Oh, yeah.
You kind of started the old-fashioned way. You put out a series of 7-inch singles way before you were signed to a label. So tell me a little bit. Form band, you have songs, and then you say, uh-oh, we need to get out there. We're here in Birmingham. So tell me a little bit about how you... You kind of did the DIY thing, did you not?
Yeah.
Well, our first single especially was done with about 4 microphones in a warehouse in Digbeth. Did it on our own.
Yeah.
And then we met this chap called Ren by MySpace, and he runs this like record label called Laundrette Recording Company.
Yeah.
And
we were really kind of arrogant about it. He sent us a message going, I'm a record label and I like your band. And so we sent a message back going like, well, why aren't you putting our records out then, huh? And then he sent one back going, oh, okay then. We're like, oh no, what do we do? Oh God, better record something.
Yeah.
But it worked out really well.
Yeah.
Like, see what happened.
And then, yeah, we've done another 2 with him. Was it another
one? No, it was another one. We did like a split single with our mates, Sunset Cinema Club.
And now they go for silly prices on eBay, and I can't afford it, and I really want one because I gave all mine away. Really stupid.
This MySpace person, I mean, one of the things you've done that bands either know how to do or don't know how to do is you're doing it the modern way. You built buzz, right? You did your DIY, you did singles, you got a presence online. So was that, did you know you were going to do it that way? Or was it just, well, I'm forming a band, I'm playing some songs, we'll DIY?
Yeah, it just seems like the natural route to go about it. There wasn't any kind of like...
strategy.
We never felt like we were like going to do this and this was the path and it was like conscious decisions. It was like...
like any path that we could do, we'd do it because, you know, we want to do as well as we can. But I think, you know, we kind of got a presence online and stuff. But then we also, you know, gigged a lot. You know, we tried to get out to as many cities as humanly possible as well.
So we're definitely we're on the same wavelength with our label as well. They agreed that it's better to do it slowly.
Tell me a touring story that just even blew you away, because obviously you've been out there and you've been doing a bunch of stuff. But tell me the one that even... you, having been through a lot of things, went back to the, you know, to the van and said...
our tour manager, who's usually quite a calm, relaxed person, we were leaving a gig and he ran over this old lady and we were all pretty shocked by it. And he just kind of had a bit of a mental fit and screamed at us, made us dump the body behind some bins on a service station, and he just won't let us talk about it anymore. It's quite good being out of the country to know you can talk about it without worrying you're going
to
be the next body behind the bin.
That story is completely true, by the way.
Yeah, totally.
Not fabricated.
We did lose our passports in Amsterdam, which was fun.
Yeah, that's a more true story.
Most of the funny stories we have are basically just lies. Us being idiots or lies. Yeah. Sometimes both, which is fun.
Yeah, we nearly got arrested in Germany as well.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's not even a lie.
No.
We speeded, and then because we were English, they automatically assumed
sped.
Tarpaulin. They automatically assumed we had lots of drugs because we were English.
They saw all our gear in the back, and they were like, "Banned."
Whereas we were really unlucky on that day and couldn't manage to get any drugs. And then when we got stopped, we realised we were actually really lucky. I had a big barrel of smack in the back.
Barrel of smack.
Smack bag.
Barrel of smack. Anyway.
The reason I was late to the studio is because I was reading how many influencers you listed on your MySpace site.
There's just like loads of bands that like just give you goosebumps and they're brilliant. That list is really incomplete. I need to go through it again and start. There's loads of bands that we played with or met or discovered in like the last year or so that should be on there.
Tell me 3 that just absolutely knock your socks off.
Chef 1H. I'm going to go with a band from Brisbane called I Heart Hiroshima. Just absolutely beautiful and amazing.
I'm going to go with...
oh, I was going to go with
Dan Dan and Aykroyd. You have to stop being on the same wavelength then, don't we? Get your own band.
We like that. I'm going to go with Tube Lord. doing lots of like label promotion because like Dan Aykroyd are label mates and Tube Lord.
Hopefully, will be.
To be, but they're amazing.
And so very young as well.
Ridiculously talented. Yeah. Ridiculously.
The Salt, Pepper, and Spinderella video. I was watching that this morning. It was a nice thing to watch, you know, for an early morning. So tell me a little bit about that, and I'm going to bring something up, and I'm probably going to be completely wrong. I obviously it was about being silenced. No question about that.
The relationship of our video to Subterranean Homesick Blues is, I had like that. The way we kind of started off the video was like it would have been too impractical to use, but I'd taken like on like tour, we'd take like little 3-second clips of like all our friends and bands and stuff just holding the words up. And like in effect, when you played it back, because you had to cut it so fast, it was just it would have been completely unwatchable. So this was kind of like Tim, our director's take on it. So it's more him ripping off my idea that I ripped off from somebody else. But I'm sure there was someone else that I ripped it off from, that they ripped it off from, Bob Dylan. But it's okay, isn't it? Because you do it once and it's ripping off, and you do it the second time and it's like, and you do it the third time and it's absolute tradition, and you're merely taking part in a long line of process.
And plus the fact that it's all stills as well. It's like, you know, it's a twist. It's a, you know, it's been on what good old Bob Dylan did. But
yeah, you don't float.
It was good a painful experience, loves Bob man. Dylan. It was a painful experience because we had to like gaffer tape or sellotape or whatever the words to our lips, and like after having like the 50th thing ripped off your lips, you're just like, I don't have any lips left. My lips are just like, ugh.
Out of all the pains that people have caught in the world, all the possible pains you could be in, it wasn't that bad.
Yeah, it was worth it for the end product because, like, the video.
I feel really sorry for the director. Like, I broke one of the railings on his flat when we were running upstairs, and I think his girlfriend hated us because we spent like the evening jumping up and down on the ceiling.
Yeah, on the roof. We're actually on the roof of a block of flats or something in the middle of London, jumping. Were you on a trampoline at one point?
Yeah.
At the edge of like, health and safety. Idea. But it was awesome. It was good, but then it got banned. The video got banned. So.
But now they've been nominated for an award for the editing, and it was banned because of the editing. So the joke's obviously on Ofcom, the useless English people.
Is it Ofcom? Is it that? Mm-hmm.
Decide whether videos are good or not. But yeah, happy ending. So it's okay.
Have any of you ever used music to help you romantically?
Yeah, that's the point of
music. Yeah.
that's why we're all here.
Mixtapes, man. You know, there's lots of little sort of ways that, you know, you can wow someone. Sorry. Go on.
Definitely.
Woo. A member of the opposite sex.
Definitely.
Yeah, what she said, times like fucking 1,000.
Oh, I fancy you. Here's a mixtape.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of thing.
We're so transparent.
A bit of Mozart, obviously, when you're in the sack.
Really?
No.
Really? I was like, I've never heard that from your room, but whenever you play classical now,
MC Hammer, innit? MC Hammer.
MC, oh no, oh god.
You listen to MC Hammer and Mozart while you're having sex? That's incredible.
It's all coming out.
I'm gonna,
what do you listen to?
I don't want to even I don't even want to say.
Hanson.
It's like really like Hanson.
Yeah. Oh, Kel. Went too far, man. Oh, I don't really do that, by the way.
Can we please edit all
that? No way.
Can we please make a little tape to your boyfriend?
Kelly humped to Umba.
Happy birthday. That's what we've been talking
about.
It's
my boyfriend's birthday. 30th birthday. I know we don't have sex to Hanson.
Oh my God, stop.
You don't have sex at all now.
No. I am now celibate, newly celibate. Actually.